Hi, you're listening to Adrienne Barbeau and Quality Time Broadcast.
I'm just going to do it one more time.
I'm loving it.
Yeah. Listen, I respect women. I'm all about women's lib, and I say this from the bottom of my heart. Bitch, shut the fuck up and suck a dick. Okay? I say that with all the love in my heart. MIA for life.
Is it weird that the only form of feminism that I'll accept is if you base your feminism on the movie Aliens?
Yes.
If it's not at that base,
right?
You need to step.
We can't have a conversation.
You need to step because I'm raising my girls right. I'm raising my little ladies the right way.
Your
right.
Feminism starts with working the pulse rifle.
You work that pulse rifle. You can use a fucking mech that can lift things and fight a queen alien.
Yeah, if you can,
then you're on my level.
That's a
normal woman be like, oh, pulse rifles, that's full, but feminism, no, I want to know what the undercarriage grenade launcher does too.
Right,
keep going,
right,
Reese.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, because that's where it needs to be.
Yeah,
and you know where you need to be. You need to be right here. Welcome back to Quality Time, everybody.
I'm so glad you're here.
Oh shit, son, we back, motherfuckers. My name is Eric Woodworth. Thank you so much for joining us again tonight.
Thank you.
I would like to introduce the very sultry, the very lovely voice to my left, Miss Kimberly Ambrose.
Hey.
How are you doing, Kimberly?
I have good news to report. I have not thrown up in 2 days.
Oh shit, you getting regs with it now?
I'm excited.
You getting regs with it now?
I'm a little lightheaded and I'm still exhausted, and like nausea is always like an impending threat.
Yeah,
but I feel like it's getting a little better.
I like your style. So you're, now you're getting acclimated to the whole pregnancy part of it. I've always heard the very first part is hard. Now,
horrible.
My wife upstairs, right here at Quality Time Studios, she both pregnancies was just sick the entire time. Never stopped the whole throw up and being nauseous ever.
It's horrible.
But you seem like you found a nice little clearing now, which is great.
I'm being optimistic for what I have. I'm not jumping too far ahead yet.
Do we have a bucket for her?
Yeah, there is a bucket right over here.
I need a bucket.
If you need it, Kimberly, we're here for you.
I'll just throw up in my shoe like a man.
And to my right is none other than my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how you doing, buddy?
I heard your Quality Time, and you always have drinks around here. And I was just thinking tonight that...
I'm sorry, who are we being joined by?
It's Winston Churchill.
Oh, Winston Churchill from the World War II.
And I just wanted to add something to Quality Time that you might enjoy. This might add to your program.
You so
okay,
much.
Winston, give us the deal.
We shall fight on the beaches. Shall fight on the landing grounds.
Fuck
we shall fight on the fields and the streets.
Metal.
We shall fight on the hills. We shall never surrender.
Mm-mm.
And if that doesn't work, we shall throw beer cans at them.
Very solid. Thank you, Winston, for joining us.
That was actually my version of you know, that actor Michael Caine. So
very good. No. That was the best Michael Caine impersonation we've had tonight. That's good, man.
Did you see John Lithgow play Winston Churchill in The Crown on Netflix?
No, I'm not familiar with
The Crown.
No,
but I saw him play a retard.
Amazing.
Although I have seen him play a heterosexual male multiple times, which is very much out of his wheelhouse.
Oh, wow.
Do you have the towels and a periwinkle?
Shut up, Kyle. What games are you playing?
Honestly, best part of Dexter.
Yes.
Straight up.
He really is. I think we've talked about this on Quality Time before. I love John Lithgow in season 3, I think it is,
yes,
of Dexter, where he plays the Trinity Killer.
So good.
The hardest thing to believe is that he's married to a woman.
What are you talking about, Kyle?
Kyle, what games are you playing right
now? I thought
it was
hard to believe that he would cry about hitting that deer.
Yes.
He was like, well, we killed it.
Oh, my gosh.
Bro.
It was rough. That was rough. But welcome back, Quality Timers, here. And we have another stunning episode for you. We're about to lay out 1991's Leprechaun in lieu of, oh, good old St. Patrick's Day. Is everybody excited about St. Patrick's Day?
When is anybody ever excited about St.
Patrick's Day? Makes me want to beat down some Irish.
Whoa, Jesus. You ready to beat down Irish?
Isn't that the way we celebrate it? We used to beat down Irish, but now we beat down snakes.
And a fine job you did there, laddie.
What you do, you just stand outside an old steel building, and you wait for an Irishman to walk by, and you beat him off as thanks for building our infrastructure. Thank you, poor people, for building America.
They built this city because they were poor.
Now, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show,
I have a good Irish quote. I have a good Irish quote that I can't say.
Go for it.
Because it's from Blazing Saddles.
Oh, okay.
When he's like, we'll take the black people and the Mexican people and the Chinese people, but we won't take the Irish.
Genius.
That's a fucking great line.
Fuck the Irish.
If I could say it, it'd be funnier, but I can't.
Oh, by the way, that really racist guy from Blazing Saddles is still alive and coming to Chiller. I'm so happy.
Who?
He's got to be like 90 years old now.
Hell yeah.
The really obnoxious one. From the longest yard.
That's awesome.
I don't know his name. He's got a weird name.
He's like the I know who you're talking about.
The lead one. He's like when you were slaves, you sang like birds.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he's great.
It's Harvey Korman. No,
what
I'm
in the wide world of sports is a going on? It's the fucking best.
It is good stuff. But a real quick shout out to all our quality timers out there. Now, listen, if you're listening in, guys, thank you so much. Our listenership is slowly growing week by week. If we could ask you a goddamn favor, all right? We give you so much for free. We give weeks out of every week, hours out of every week. Kim is making a very pregnant trip every time. And you know what? She's going to take a break from the show, you fuckers.
You're going to miss me.
She's going to take a break. You know what? Because I'll tell you what this show pays, nothing. Absolutely. Next to nothing.
Unless you come to me.
I did give a Christmas bonus this year that came out of my goddamn pocket.
Thank you,
because
Papa.
Because I love these guys.
And there's only one person that can replace Kim Ambrose, and that's James Finn.
James Finn. And unless you want James Finn on every episode, you'll fucking do what we tell you now.
This is a threat.
And he's actually going to try to be Kim Ambrose. No.
What? Do you think he can handle the sass, Jeremy? Do you?
Now, what we ask is very simple. It's the same thing we ask every week. Hop on the iTunes, hop on Stitcher. These are two formats that you're allowed to rate and vote and let your voice be heard. Mm-hmm. Give us a 5-star rating on both of those. You put it up there. We will read it on the show. We've got a couple that are building up, and we definitely want to do it very shortly. But on top of that, this is the extra thing. This is the thing that if you don't do, Kim is leaving the show.
Forever.
Put it like this. Just put your foot down, Kim. Warn these people what the deal is, okay?
I'll fucking leave. I'll watch bad movies with nothing to do with them.
What I want you to do is, in your busy work week, when you're sitting there behind your goddamn computer,
just being
your cubicle,
the cuck that you are,
you're listening to all our cuck jokes and our mild racism. Mm-hmm. I need you to sit back and be like, hey, Ned over in accounting. You got to listen to this. Share quality time with a friend, okay?
Yeah.
We instantly double our listenership if every one of our listeners goes out there and just tells one friend.
And here's what I want you
to
do.
Because, by the way, if you got friends, then you probably got friends that got the same interests as you.
Probably.
And the same interests as you means you like the show, which means they're going to like the show, and then you can talk about it and have fucking fun,
and you
okay?
Know what?
And that's what this show is about. It's about fun.
I've been holding back because until I get paid, that's when the real comedy comes out.
Yes.
If you guys don't have friends that like stuff you like, that's stupid. Get new friends.
Mm-hmm.
Also, here's what I want you to do. This is a special request from me, okay? I want you to do both of those things. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and tell a friend. After that, reward yourself. Masturbate. Send some good vibrations into the air. There's a lot of negativity in the world right now. I feel like you put a little love on yourself in a love circular motion from Fuck you yeah. to you, from you to you. Fucking put it out there, man.
Huh? Or even a forward and backward motion. That's usually what works for me.
That or left to right, whatever is good, whatever type of situation you're working with down there.
I want you to hop in a pitch black room, throw on the VR goggles, and have some fucking real intimate VR porn.
Take it
but
to
listen
another
to this.
Level.
Put this on as audio, though.
Yeah,
that's what I want you to yeah. hear. Is this show
is us
as
rating
we're doing it.
Bad taste? While you fucking pleasure yourself.
And if you can give a recording of yourself doing it, saying, I'm doing it for quality time.
And then immediately delete that recording. We don't want to hear that. Just do it. Know that you did it.
Now, gang, I do have some special news to bring up. Now,
what?
A couple of weeks ago, well, I'd say about 2 weeks ago, I was riding around with our good friend Rob Mayer, who's on an upcoming episode, by the way, if you're listening to this.
Holler.
In about 2 weeks, you're going to hear the very special, a heavy hitter episode of Con Air coming up very
Whoa.
Shortly.
Whoa.
Okay. I hope you're ready because I have been fucking rock hard since I got booked this date. But Rob Mayer of Comedy Central, good friend of mine and Kim's and Jeremy's, he asked me, who is the one phone call that when they call you, you always pick up?
Oh.
Kimberly, I'll give you one guess. Can you guess who the one person, whenever they call my phone, doesn't matter what time of day it is, I'm at work, I'm at my kid's thing, who's the one person that calls me that I answer every single time?
The one person.
One person. There's only one.
Jeremy's wife, because you think he's dead.
Okay, that's a good guess.
Thank you.
No, don't care. I'll find out my answer.
That could wait overnight.
I'll hear it on the police blotter in my basement that I listen to.
Jeremy, have I told you about this yet? I don't think I have. Jeremy, who's the one person who, when they call my phone, I pick up every single time?
Saul Goodman.
Not Saul Goodman.
It's your mom.
The one person I pick up every time he blasts my phone is none other than the one, the only, former guest of the show, Mr. Christopher Restivo.
Okay.
When I see that phone pop up, I go from 6 to midnight instantly.
Nice.
Because I know that this phone call is going to deliver on everything that I want in the world, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Now, if there's any Rob and Joe Show fans out there, you're very well chronicled with the Chris Restivo incident. If you go back to our archives, you can hear Dave Schofer versus Chris Restivo, a very great episode that we have.
Low
in the
quality,
archives.
High entertainment.
Yeah. Now,
what about the me against him episode?
There is no me against
with
you.
Joe Flacco.
It's not all about you! Okay, now listen.
I got to be on the show.
Joe and Jeremy, yes. Yeah, listen, it's not all the fuck about you.
I did
God
a recording.
Jeremy.
I did funny ha-has.
Now, here's...
I'm starting to see how bad my guess was now.
Here's a fun thing, okay? Now, this is the reason... I'll tell you the reason why I answer the phone every time. Every time I pick it up, I walk away with a new story and a new... My brain has been changed in a way that okay. I can't undo.
Yes.
Every conversation with Chris Restivo.
You've had the potion.
I'm going to give you a list of things, okay? And a game for both of you. Which one of these things, just one, did Chris Restivo not say to me in a conversation
Ooh,
this week?
Oh, this is going
to
be hard.
It's only one. One of these is not true.
Okay.
All of them, almost all of them are true.
Take
okay?
a deep breath.
And when I say true, I mean true in the sense that Chris Restivo believes them to be true.
Okay.
That's the best way that I need to preface that.
Okay.
I need to preface that. Okay. A, this one is, this might be the funniest one right off the bat. And I'm sorry
Just
I came
so Just give it
so
high. so much love.
I gave it, all right. This is what Chris Restivo said. Jeremy is blowing up. Like Kevin Hart.
Okay.
That's number one.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
He's blowing up like Kevin Hart.
Oh, and I've been balder than Kevin Hart.
Yeah. B, my girlfriend fucked two black guys in a hotel room for crack.
Okay.
That's B. Okay. C, I'm working on my DVD about what people think about me. He was very much stressed the format being DVD, okay?
Okay?
He was very much hammering home it has to be a DVD.
Okay.
D, Stacy Carver saw me open for Sonny Fuller. I killed, and he offered me a headline spot.
Okay.
That's D. Okay.
Keep
in mind, one of these is not true. E.
Not true or not what
wow,
he said on the
five
phone?
Five different okay. choices.
E, his friend/bodyguard let Chris have his credit card to do online investing for him. That's E.
Okay.
F.
Oh, man.
Jeez, six choices.
He had. There's one more after this.
Oh.
F.
Seven.
He has a mural in his new apartment of Andrew Dice Clay, and he's working on a solid impersonation of him. Solid impersonation
okay,
of him.
Okay, okay.
It's very believable.
It might be that one, because I don't know that he knows the word mural.
It's a mural.
And last one, G. He sent his tape to an agent that works in California. He's going to be moving there soon.
That's definitely okay? true. That's definitely true.
Okay. So which ones out of these is your answer of what is not true of those statements?
Let's say the one about me.
Can we have an abbreviated list?
Okay, abbreviated list. Jeremy is blowing up like Kevin Hart. His girlfriend fucked two black dudes. I'm working on a DVD about what people think about me. Stacy Carver is going to let me headline, local promoter. His friend bodyguard lets him do online investing for him. He has a mural of Andrew Dice Clay, and G, he sent his tape to an agent in California. He's moving there soon.
Wow. Oh, God, it's so hard. These are all equally outlandish.
I think almost every one of them is believable. So
very believable. Mostly so the believable. One about his girlfriend getting crack for fucking two black gentlemen.
And I like that we've already ruled that one.
That one's
most,
a fact, yeah.
The
definitely.
Most truthful one is that one.
I do believe that someone who would consider themselves his friend and bodyguard would also let him do his online trading. I think there's someone that exists like that.
I have a bodyguard now.
Yeah. I think they were getting real fucked up at the strip club he likes to go to. They were having some Thursday afternoon special tuna sandwiches and a couple brewskis, and they were just pumping each other up, and he was like, dude, you're so big, and he was like, man, you're so small, but you'd be tough as shit, and he's like, I would love a bodyguard. I'm not gonna lie. That's what I foresee. I think he is working on Andrew Dice Clay. I just don't know about the mural, I'll be honest. Oh, he definitely gave his tape to someone in LA, and somebody is definitely tricking him into going out there. That's a fact. That's the final truth. I'm gonna say the one about someone letting him headline.
Letting him headline.
Yes, okay. That he crushed before Sonny Killer.
Sonny Killer.
Luke Star Killer.
All the life goes to the child who's now better than me. They're already better than me. They can just have it.
All right, Jeremy. What is your answer of all the of all of them?
I'm gonna guess blowing up like Kevin Hart, because there's no way I'm as good as Kevin Hart.
Okay, so we're going to go with Jeremy's answer first. Okay. Jeremy, your response that you're blowing up like Kevin Hart, 100% true statement. That is exactly from the mouth of Chris Restivo. After he heard about your third movie that you're in, you're blowing up like Kevin Hart.
I am blowing up like somebody in a porn film. So
like Japan in the 1940s, am I right? Gosh.
Okay, now Kimberly, your answer about you said the false answer D. Stacy Carver saw me open for Sonny Fuller. I killed, and he offered me a headline spot. By the way, that's basically three all in a row.
It's a lot in there.
One, you have to believe that he opened for Sonny Fuller.
I don't.
Which, verified, that is a real thing.
Okay. Wow.
Two, you have to believe that he killed. That he fucking killed. Like, he went in front of people and had, like, his one of his best sets in his life. Okay?
It happens. Who am I to say it didn't happen?
And B, and part three to this is that the promoter of the show saw this, and it was just like, I need to give this guy more money to come back here.
Someone
and do this
who's
again.
Already hired Sonny Fuller.
Yes.
He already has a headliner
already
at that
has
level.
It. But now he's put him right on the tier
on
of
the same,
Sonny Fuller.
That I can't.
Yes. Yes. That answer
I'm almost
is completely true as well. You are
Stop
both wrong.
It.
You're both wrong. Those
Stop
are both things
it.
That he
Tell
said.
Tell me
to
it's
me.
The mural.
Those are both things.
I'm ready
he
to
said.
Believe in flat earth now. So fuck this whole NASA, it's fake. We've never been to the moon.
Never
fuck
a straight
it.
Answer.
So, the earth is flat. We're done.
The only one that I made up from this that Chris didn't say to me was the Andrew Dice Clay mural. Now
I should have gone with my first instinct.
Now listen to me. That's not to say that he doesn't have a mural. It just isn't Andrew Dice Clay. His mural actually is of Robert De Niro and Scarface. He didn't say Al Pacino. He said Robert De Niro, a real person.
It's not,
and also Scarface.
That's not Al Pacino.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's Robert, Scarface.
Yeah, that's Scarface.
That's Scarface.
That is Scarface.
I mean Pacino.
So
Pacino, not De Niro. Wow.
De Niro and Scarface.
And Pacino.
Yes, but no, okay. He said Scarface.
Okay.
He made the point. And when I saw pictures of his apartment, I also confirmed that.
I really wish whoever did this mural would have fucked up and did Pacino in Donnie Brasco by accident.
Yeah.
Been like, dude, that's Scarface.
Exactly.
It is not. No, it's not.
It's not.
Well, that entire thing was just like a big pineapple just waiting to be plucked. So
yeah, that was my week, guys.
Wow.
Jeremy, you've been moving. How's that been going, you fucking hoarder?
I don't know. How well is it doing when I come back from the move and bringing back a trailer and you're like, where's Jeremy? Oh, he's sleeping in his car because he's completely exhausted, tired.
This is a true story. I came to help Jeremy today at 8 o'clock in the morning. He was a little late, but not too late. All right. I had a fun interaction with my mother because the power was out at their house. We had a huge windstorm.
Happened to us as well today.
Windmageddon today.
Do you have any music for that wind?
Gustmageddon.
Yeah, we do. We had Windmageddon.
This is me outside walking with the dog, expecting any moment for a branch to fall on the dog while I had the leash attached to him. Like, oh, damn it!
So, everything down here in the Maryland, D.C. area is just, there's lines down everywhere. Bull, power's been out. I had no power. I had a tree down. I chopped it up in one day because
nice.
I'm a man.
Hell
and I fucking
yeah.
roll shit. I chopped up a tree. I did some man shit, yo. And,
burn a fucking house down.
That's, you know, if I ever do break up or lose my wife, I'm just gonna go to a bar and just have a block of wood and sand it as I stare at somebody like, ugh.
Sand it while you're also tanning leather in the next seat. It's fucking man stuff.
I just killed this and now the leather's gotta be tanned.
Fashioning my own spurs out of this old aluminum can. What do you want?
So I went to help Jeremy out at 8 o'clock this morning. I drive over there. He's a little late. I helped my mom move her fridge back into place because they were running off generator power. I pushed it back to the right spot. And a few seconds later, she's like standing by the fridge and she's like, Woody? Woody, where are you? And she thinks she can hear Woody. And she goes, Eric, I think Woody, the cat, he's behind the fridge. And I was just like, Mom, there's no way that the cat is back there.
Yeah.
First of all, I've consigned to the fact that my mom's lost her mind. Like, immediately.
Okay,
I'm like,
okay.
Maybe I need to put Mom in a home. That's the first thing I think of.
Today's the day, sure.
When that phrase comes out of her mouth, I go, Mom needs to get committed immediately. Like, she needs to get out of this house. She can't handle it.
You ain't too far.
So, I'm not. I'm really not. That is not a crazy statement that I'm making. So, to appease Mom, I don't hear anything. I'm like, Woody, are you back there? I hear nothing.
Okay.
So I was like, Mom, I'll pull back this thing because it wasn't that hard. She couldn't move because she's a little lady.
She's a little lady.
So I just like, I moved it back. I sauntered it back. And sure as shit, the cat comes crawling out from behind that.
Mother
I don't
knows
know.
Best.
There's no way. There's no room. He must have been squished completely to like a pack of
yes.
cards.
That's why when you guys were like, Woody, he was like, I can't. There's
nothing.
I can't.
There's nothing back here.
I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die back here.
But by the way, Woody came out. He was mad chill. He's like, meow, what's up?
Like he's that. Like, thanks for saving my fucking life. That was a tight squeeze. That sucked.
My mom's cat, and she's had that cat since I was like in middle school. That cat is like 20 some odd years old.
That is not the way
still,
it needs to go out.
And it's an outdoor cat that still slags dick on the regs. On the regs.
Burning down houses, chopping wood, doing real shit like cat do.
So I put my little Facebook post of my tiny little branch that fell out in front of my new house. And of course, Mom, when I get to her house, she's like, come with me. Come look at this. And the biggest fucking pine, half of a pine tree landed on her deck.
Mom's house was fucked up.
Damn. fucked the deck up a little bit, but it was amazing how surgically it didn't fuck up everything else. It's like a little bit this way. Oh, that could have fucked up that and the shed and that. But it did kind of take out all the cable and the power line, rip the power line right from the house. And definitely a good, probably a good 1,000 pounds worth of tree landed on the deck. And
it looked like a lot of tree.
And just spent all of yesterday chopping that sucker up because
chopping broccoli. Yeah.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm always a fan of when nature's like, you know what we should do? Get rid of all these fucking people.
Yeah,
they're horrible. I love when a tree goes through somebody's house and then, or somebody's car. I'm like, take it.
And then everybody stops still in their tracks and then starts looking for the gun to blow their brains out.
Oh my god.
Look, it's a fresh nor'easter. Yay! Don't look up at the steeple! Oh my gosh!
Do you remember those videos people made of when, like, they'd put in slow motion, like, when their lawn furniture, their plastic furniture got knocked over by wind, and they were like, never forget.
Never forget. No, this was, honestly, I work in the utility industry as my day job, and it is, I went to check my email today because I knew shit is popping
off. It's
going to
be bad.
We have, like, 30 emergencies going on around town. Like, it's lines down everywhere.
It's
fucking a nut house. So I showed up to this morning. Jeremy's a little late after the cat incident. We start loading up stuff. By the way, Jeremy, when you ask somebody to move, okay,
sure,
like Kimberly, do you usually have things like packed up, right? When you move, you pack first, right?
You gotta pack your shit,
label it.
Kitchen in the kitchen.
And then you do the move part. And that's where you need help, like, with people, right?
Box to truck, truck box to house box.
Jeremy isn't even packed yet.
Okay.
He's rented things to move stuff, but he's not even packed. There's just things everywhere. He's not fully packed. So I start moving the things that are packed in there. And after about an hour and a half, he realizes, like, shit, we got to go right now and get this over because I got to return the U-Haul at 11 because he's had it all day yesterday.
Fuck.
So we rush over there. He unloads it and literally leaves. So I take all the stuff that he just left on the road. I move it all in, except for the stuff that two-man
Very
stuff.
Nice of you.
And then I'm sitting in there. And then I took some stuff, like, upstairs where is Jeremy's special spot. And then I'm like, well, I don't know what else to do, Michelle. I don't know where Jeremy is, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I don't know where he is either. He was supposed to go here. We got to go pick up this. They're picking up dressers at noon. I'm like, well, I guess I'm just going to go because, you know, I just don't know what else I can really do here.
Sure.
So I roll outside to get in my truck. I realize Jeremy's outside. He's been sleeping in the truck. I don't know for how long, but he's been sleeping in his own fucking truck.
And the worst
this
is,
whole time.
Worst is, I don't even remember parking, but I do remember waking up like, I'm so fucking tired.
Oh my god.
Completely tired.
I don't know how long he's out here. It could have been a half hour, 45 minutes. I've been like busting my ass inside and I come outside and I'm like, you're fucking here the whole time. Oh my god. I was exhausted.
So exhausted.
I had a real problem.
Yeah.
Because if he had told me he wasn't, I would have unloaded the back of his truck and gotten that stuff instead of
Do you understand that you sound like every woman ever?
Yeah, I am. Well,
you know,
I live with all women.
That's what it sounds like. It's like, I did the right thing. I put in the effort. I overthought. Then I repressed the emotions that came from somebody else not thinking, because I did all the thinking. They didn't. So we're going to do it by their thing, which would be easier to do by my thing. But it's fine. Let's not start a fight. Let's stay positive.
Well, you know.
And then you go outside and you're like, did you enjoy your nap?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy your fucking nap?
Did you like that?
Yeah.
Did you like that?
I feel like that's how, like, most relationships I've had have gone.
Well, the difference between me was me moving everything yesterday. Well, I guess she maybe cleaned the house and, you know,
everybody's busy,
prepared things, whereas I did 90% of the moving. So
I will say Jeremy's house is pretty dope, though.
That's
he's got
up.
A nice ass house.
Congrats,
though.
Hell yeah.
He's got a nice little two bedroom, and Jeremy's
Sweet.
Space, he's got the loft upstairs. So he's got this two, like, room upstairs that's pretty fucking dope.
I'm a big fan
that'll
of the loft.
That'll be filled with his hoardings, but it's still really nice.
I'm already working on the tubes of blood that'll be flowing into, like, a giant bath.
Dude, one of my favorite
and
pieces.
And the gargoyles.
One of my favorite pieces of dialogue ever is in Aqua Teen Hunger Force when it's those two, like, shapes talking to each other in the other realm.
Agnog and Ignog.
No. Like, this
They're
is the
Atari characters.
No, this is the episode with the Brood Witch. And whenever you bite the Brood Witch, you go into this other realm that's 2D. And there's, like, the characters are just, like, shapes. And he's like, dude, I fucking put the brains in the jars. I put the light behind the jars to fucking make it look cool. And now I put it in the window so everybody can see it. It's a fucking cool thing. And now she's like, we can't have the brain collection that close to the baby. Like, well, Cheryl, maybe if we didn't put some fucking baby in the same room as my goddamn brain collection. He's like, hey, aren't you supposed to kill that guy? Oh, yeah. What's up, man? Hey. That is one of my favorite fucking bits of dialogue. Like, I put... You've seen it. It looks great. I've seen it. It looks amazing. Why is she asking you to move? It's like she has no respect.
My favorite has to be the pool of blood that Danzig buys.
Yeah.
I'm going to cover this thing with gargoyles. That guy scares me. I don't want to be around him.
These are two adult homeowners who just quoted Aqua Teen Hunger Force to express how they
feel.
One
of the greatest shows ever made.
We fuck.
It makes me want to go to McDonald's.
We fuck on the regs.
And I'll just get some meat wad. I mean a sandwich.
But enough of the pleasantries for this evening.
Nobody wants to be pleasant
enough
up in
of
here.
The pleasantries.
Into the business.
We need to get down and dirty because it is St. Patrick's Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Take your pants off. It's time for business.
Tonight, we're going over none other than 1991's classic film, The Leprechaun.
Wait a second. Is this the guy from Willow?
Yeah.
Yes. I was also in Return of the Jedi. Oh, really? Really? What? So, we're not going to take pictures of you. Who the fuck are you? So
yeah, 1991's Leprechaun. A little bit of preface for this. I'm sorry, 1993's Leprechaun. It was actually filmed in 1991. Some fun facts about the start of this movie. This is actually the feature film debut of Jennifer Aniston, everybody.
Oh,
Jennifer Aniston's very first movie.
Who the hell's that?
I think you know who Jennifer Aniston is. It's this lady.
Oh, the one that's married to the guy that was in, Scream.
No, you're thinking of the little one with the dark hair.
Thinking of Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
No, this is Jennifer Aniston, the pretty one.
And my favorite part of the song is, no one told you that you had to wear a bra today.
I've got big boobs for you, and they're there for me too. We've got a dumb guy named Joey, and an uptight guy named Chandler. They live together, and David Schwimmer's hair's always wet.
And we have a Jew.
Yeah.
They're all fucking each other, and they have the...
Yeah, I mean, priorities, bro. Priorities.
Now, I'm pretty sure that band, they open their concerts with that song, and then they end with it, and then double encore with the same song over and over again. So let's play it again! So...
Oh, the Rembrandts, their only hit song that was for a TV show.
Shucks.
Anyway.
What about their follow-up song? We're still friends.
We're still friends forever, so no one told you we're still gonna be good friends.
Again.
We're gonna die soon.
So, other interesting facts, George Lucas actually has a film credit for this movie Leprechaun, this big... fucking pile of shit movie. Leprechaun, George Lucas has a credit for this film because Lucasfilms had Warwick Davis, our very fun midget friend, under contract during this film and gave him permission to do the movie.
Aww.
So George Lucas is partly responsible for the movie Leprechaun.
How does it feel to be a midget that has to get permission from a grown man?
Yeah.
That can't feel good.
Now, this movie was filmed in 1991 and was released 2 years later. The reason being, they had to do a lot of reshoots, and it was a hard sell because originally they told the studio, yeah, we're going to make this kids' horror movie, kind of like an Ernest Scared Stupid.
Right.
And then they decided, no, we're going to make it a fucking adult horror film, which is the reason why it took so long to be released.
Hmm.
Warwick Davis himself was actually very, very against the movie. He was scared it was going to hurt his image, but then when it became kind of like a popular movie, he actually got really on fucking board with it, and now he loves it, which is, I guess, good. I mean, I guess money solves everything, but that's the moral of that story. There's nothing midgets won't do for cash.
Otherwise known
as the garbage
pail.
Am I right?
Now,
aren't we all midgets? inside.
Now, Jeremy, this is a special factoid just for you.
Ooh.
Okay?
A factoid I for actually, Jeremy.
I actually put this in my notes as midget facts with a giant
midget asterisk. Facts.
I usually put one asterisk for like a regular fact, two for like you must put this in the show. This is the first ever three asterisk
wow.
fact that I've ever brought to the show. Okay, Jeremy, midget facts. Now, Deep Roy. Do you know who Deep Roy is?
Deep Roy.
Deep Roy is most famously known as an Oompa Loompa from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay.
Okay.
I've only met one Oompa Loompa.
Now, you know who Tony Cox is, though.
Absolutely.
Tony Cox.
Absolutely.
Famous from Bad Santa and yeah. many other films. The little black midget.
Yes. Well, the few black midgets I've ever seen.
They were both in this movie as Warwick Davis's stunt doubles. Okay?
Bring in the black midget.
I knew he would be so tickled by this. I knew he'd be so tickled that they brought in another midget who's also famous to do this.
When it comes time to for the tossing, so.
And oddly enough,
bring in Beetlejuice.
I told you this was going to completely undo it, but as soon as I
no one tosses a dwarf.
Now, now Cox also would appear later in Leprechaun 2. Okay,
oh.
Just fun little
way
fun
before
little
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Now, Leprechaun 2. I rewatched this movie. Like, I think I remembered Leprechaun 2 is somehow Leprechaun 1. I forgot how fucking not good this movie is, okay? Like, usually, I'm all for a bad horror film, okay? But this movie is genuinely not good. Like, genuinely not good.
Yeah, yeah.
In a sense of, and Kim, I'm sorry. Sometimes we put forth, like, shows and stuff like that. And we're like, Kim, you're going to love this. Or we're like, Kim, probably not going to like this.
Sure,
but
yeah.
Something in my mind said, Leprechaun's a fucking great movie. We have to do it for St. Patrick's Day. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, I must have been thinking about Leprechaun 2 because
she's
gonna
be mad.
There's not really gory kills in this. There's nothing in
there
this
was a lot of like
scary.
Head puncture wounds.
Yes.
That
yes.
bled a lot and stopped bleeding immediately because it was made of gel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know that scene where he sticks his hand into the tree? And the fact that the leprechaun's head is in the tree is almost flawless.
Yes.
You know, it looks like his head is really in that tree limb.
That's
so,
it.
You know?
That's it right there. Now, the movie opens to the leprechaun himself stroking his gold on a basically stony cobblestone stairwell.
Again, putting good vibes out there.
Loving his
probably
gold.
In Dublin somewhere.
Yes, I'm sure it was filmed live in Dublin. And he goes, try as they might, he who steals me gold won't live through the night. Roll the shitty leprechaun fucking
ooh,
credits that
lolly.
Come up. It's not good. It's not a good opening. It is on par with any Cinemax fucking tit movie that you can watch on Cinemax during
and
that
this
time.
This is 10 years after Jedi, but just watching Warwick Davis's spindly little legs, he's not fat.
He's not. He's actually in really good shape during this movie still.
And I kind of question.
He's not like hobbly. He can move. That motherfucker can move.
And I kind of question just his whole build, whether he's really got dwarfism or if he's a midget. Because he's almost a little bit, what's the word? Proportional.
Mm.
Proportional versus just small limbs. But either way.
What's funnier is that, like, Warwick Davis is in great shape, and they brought in Tony Cox to do the stunts. I'm like, he's a much worse off little person. They're like, oh, throw that little black guy down the steps. He'll be fine.
It's like the fight on Jerry Springer between the one midget who has like tiny little fins, and when he falls over, he can't even get himself
Stop.
Up. He has to climb up a chair just to be able
about.
To get back on
he
his
goes
legs.
He goes so buck though. He goes so buck. Next, we meet Mr. O'Grady, who's pounding a fifth of Jameson and can't be any more stereotypically Irish. He's brought in by a limo, and his wife is very concerned about where all the money is coming from. He quickly fesses up and smashes a vase, and we find it. It is filled with gold. He explains he found a leprechaun, and he made him show him where his gold was. And his wife clearly thinks this is ridiculous, but Mr. O'Grady goes and hides the gold. Shortly after, Miss O'Grady, you can hear some singing in a suitcase that Mr. O'Grady has left inside the house. It sounds like a young boy singing. And, it sounds like a child saying, "Let me out, let me out." Of course, she goes to open it, and our short friend, Mr. Warwick Davis, the leprechaun, emerges from the suitcase, and he backs her down a flight of steps and ends up fucking killing the fuck out of this lady.
I like how she doesn't do anything until that kid's voice was like, "Please, I'm going to suffocate in here." And then she was like, "Oh my God, we got to do something."
Mr. O'Grady returns to see the leprechaun carrying out a tray of tea. They immediately start having an argument over the gold, and there couldn't be a more stereotypical Irish thing ever between these two, which is clearly a guy doing a great Irish accent and Warwick Davis, who's never heard an Irish person speak.
The only way the scene could have been more Irish is if their faces showed that they had something on their minds, but then both of them sat in the room and didn't talk about it.
It is very dark in the house, very Irish pub. He displays a four-leaf clover and forces the leprechaun into a giant crate. But before Grady can pour gasoline all over it and he's about to light it on fire, the leprechaun causes Mr. O'Grady to have a heart attack.
Aww.
And that is the beginning
of our
movie.
Somebody who drinks whole bottles of Jameson suddenly had a heart attack? Oh my God. It's like, why do bad things happen to good people? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
You know?
So that's our intro to the movie. The next thing we're met with is,
welcome to this movie. You paid $12. Sit down.
Very important, see what happens. There's the four-leaf clover is set on top of the box too. So he's trapped inside the box. He can't go past the four-leaf clover.
It's got magical properties to it.
Like, what do you do? The clovers are everywhere. Do you just know, like, when a four-leaf clover's there, you can't go? I feel like they grow everywhere, and four-leaf clovers are kind of common. Like, they're not super uncommon.
Oh, it takes minutes to find one.
It takes minutes. So, next we float forward to 10 years later, and we meet our heroine of the movie, Miss Jennifer Aniston, playing Tori. She's staying with her quote-unquote...
I'm sorry. Was there a moment in this film where they couldn't find a lucky four-leaf clover, so they just got a box of Lucky Charms to fight the leprechaun?
No.
Throw some marshmallows at him.
Lucky Charms comes back into play later. Okay. Almost. It's a
they
fun
tried to make a funny
on.
And my response was, I see what they did there.
They got some Hellsberg special
on.
Necklace diamonds. So, mm-hmm.
She starts out by saying that she has to stay with her quote-unquote hick dad in North Dakota, which she calls New Mexico. So she's already laying the groundwork of saying, I wish I was in the movie Clueless, but instead I got this. And there's a...
God damn you, Brittany Murphy!
There's no cable, no shopping malls, no nothing. There's nothing at the house there. Of course, it's Mr. O'Grady's house, if you're paying attention.
I just realized this was after Medusa with... What's-her-name, who was... Who was the one that just cut off Trump's head?
Are we going on a Jeremy trail now?
Yes, yeah, it's a very short trail.
You're thinking of
Kathy Griffin.
Kathy Griffin. Yeah.
And of course, I think who is followed up with Aniston and Kathy and Judy Brown. Judy Brown on The Edge on Channel 5 was 93. So it was a great sketch comedy show with
and they all had sex with Kevin Bacon.
Jeremy, that was like so many like.
No, I remember Jennifer
when
Aniston.
You go in and it's like reference one, I'm with you. Reference
Look, there were two.
I feel
shows.
Like we need a string
reference three
to follow back.
Jeremy's
out.
Always trying to track us in now to his madness.
No, there was
Do
two
you see
shows.
How this works?
Yes.
There was two shows to watch back in those days. It was The Edge and Chris Elliott Get a Life. So.
Okay, I like Get
Suddenly,
a Life. Suddenly
you're in a cave full of stalactites and no way out.
Thank you for Fox TV.
Now, she's very grossed out by the whole place, and they go to investigate the basement. He explains that being very materialistic, his very materialistic daughter, he explains to her, money isn't everything, which is important because the leprechaun likes money, blah, blah, blah. She goes out and she wants to stay in a hotel. Tori walks outside and she bumps into Nathan, who is clearly auditioning for a Pert Plus ad right after this.
Yeah.
How great was Nathan's hair? Can we at least agree on that?
Well, you got to be at Leprechaun at 3, but you got to be at your Pert Plus audition at 4:30.
They go back and forth, but the sexual attention is very, very much clear.
That he is obviously gay.
She fucks dudes. That much is clear, but hey, it's Hollywood. You do what you got to do.
Everybody fucks dudes. That's how movies get made. Am I right?
She also says it's the 90s. Women are treated equal,
and his
which
his response is okay.
Yeah, that's fun, bitch.
How long till this house is up and running and you can make a sandwich?
Yeah. Next we meet Ozzy, who's played by Mark Holton, and
John Wayne Gacy with his first victim.
He has played Gacy before, but I think he's most famously known for his part as the antagonist in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Francis,
also known as the guy who gets confused for Andy Richter.
Yeah, he does kind of look like Andy Richter. He does kind of look like him. We also meet Alex, played by Robert Gorman, who plays the kid in many 90s films and TV. Most notably, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. He's actually the little kid from there.
Real obnoxious.
Yeah, he is kind of obnoxious. I'm not a big fan of him. Fun little factoid, though. Leprechaun 2 also features a major character from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and that would be the older brother in the film. He is actually in Leprechaun 2 as one of the main people. So, you know, a lot of ties to
it's like how they used all the actors from National Lampoon to do Saturday Night Live, but like without talent.
It's exactly like that.
Yeah,
that's exactly, you know what I was thinking about. I was like, you know, this is just like the gang that got together in National Lampoon. They're gonna make documentaries about these people, like they'll be on Netflix. Well, fuck.
I want the future self to be played by Martin Mull, even though I died even like in the 70s, so
I like that.
Who's a lot like Darth Mull, who's a lot like Darth Vader. He's a lot like...
who would have met Buddy Holly had he lived,
right,
and would be a samurai.
Now, have you seen A Futile and Stupid Gesture yet?
Yes, and
it's
I loved it.
Now, I had to look up Ken Orland because I thought he was the wheelchair dude from Friday the 13th, which I was completely wrong, but he was in Summer School.
Well, thank
God.
Did
you just say 13th?
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
My very, very favorite part from the National Lampoon documentary that I keep quoting to people because, like, my dad and, like, my uncle, like, that's their age group, you know? Mm. Like, so I'm like, you gotta see it. Like, you'd love it.
Yeah.
But the one part that I'm always like, this part's so fucking good, is when the guy that's bankrolling their thing, right, from Weight Watchers magazine's like producing them.
It's a gentleman from Upright Citizens Brigade.
He keeps coming out of his office in different outfits with like different pieces of paper or cards in his hand every time, and he's like, God damn it, the Catholic Church is suing us, what did we do?
Yes.
And then he comes out again and he's like, the feminists hate us, and then he comes out again and he's like, what does he say? He's like, the Nazis. Oh no, wait, this is fan mail. That's fucking great.
So that's also, we thought about the Friday the 13th game, how the ultimate unlockable would be the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, so I'd love always to play him. I'd love to play as the kid with the wheelchair.
Not only
but he's so good at fixing cars.
But if you get like the wheelchair battery, you can at least get away from Jason.
Yeah, you can move fast enough. That would be pretty dope, actually. Next, the kid... we learn a couple of things about the little kid that he's behind.
He likes pump-up shoes.
Him and Ozzy are best friends. Basically, the kid has befriended this giant retarded
and should
man.
Should never be left
of
alone
mice
with
men.
Gacy.
Of
so.
Mice and men.
And he shouldn't be alone with that kid ever.
And
like this
nor
is clearly,
should he be left alone with rabbits.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good, is what I'm trying to get at. Next, we see Tori heading into the basement and gets spooked by Nathan, who, by the way, why the fuck are you creeping around in my basement right
yeah,
now, you
bro.
Fucking creeper?
It's the 90s.
It's like... It's time for clacks and get the fuck out of my house.
I just drank some Coors Extra Gold, which is pretty popular now.
Yeah. She, like, why are you creeping around there? But because he's beautiful, she immediately goes, oh my God, thank you so much.
I wish she would have got scared by her own collection of Alf dolls. Oh God. Oh, it's just Alf. It's fine. It's just the many elves that I own.
I'm a people alien.
Now, Nathan convinces her that they should open the giant crate where we already know that the leprechaun is locked inside.
Don't do it.
But then they hear Ozzy screaming and they leave before they can pry it open. And Ozzy has still got paint. He's basically the town retard. He has paint all over him. Like, I can't do anything.
I'll tell you what. They really treat this guy like shit.
Do they ever?
He
right?
clearly has a problem and there's no mercy for him.
You know, in 2017, we'd realize that's autism and it's not right the way he's being treated.
You know, it's not,
yes,
it's,
last year, that is what we would have done.
It's not the black person that dies in every horror movie, it's the retard. So, and I had another
they go
part.
Too soon.
Why? Because they're slow? Boom!
Another part that really thrilled me was the part where O'Grady takes the midget and puts him into the crate. That was my favorite
part.
Yeah,
isn't that fun? He's squeezing. Fucking shaking his little.
It's so funny because he can't do anything about it. He can't fight back. That's what's funny about it.
Handling the little man. You love it.
Now, Ozzy goes back inside to clean himself up, and he can hear a child singing from the crate. Classic leprechaun move. Naturally, his urges are to hang with young children because he is a monster, so he must investigate. He's like, oh, a young child. I must go see. We could talk about cards and stuff.
Again, this is dated. 2018, yeah. You hear yeah. somebody else's kid, you don't see him, you walk outside and go, hey, I think your kid's awake. I'm on lunch break now.
Nah.
You go as far away as possible.
Not if you're future Gacy, you're ready to head to fuck town. So
can I talk about the favorite part of Austin Powers is
yes,
you know,
because Austin, thank you,
let's
you
go
know
there
what? That
you
was
know.
Actually the next thing I was going to bring up, Jeremy.
You know,
that
you know,
was it. It was,
you know,
it was Austin,
you know,
Powers,
you know,
just
the
checking them off
you know the
list.
governor of Minnesota, Austin Powers. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, he was a wrestler and everything. He's like, you know, one part of my career back when I did a movie, I killed a midget and I called him a half man bastard.
Half man bastard.
Austin Powers, everybody. So.
I think you
come
were
on, met, Joe. Correct
you
me.
You meant Jesse Ventura. There were so many wrong
Ace Ventura,
things about that.
Pet Detective.
So many wrong things about it. I can't even handle it.
So,
I'd like that it happened.
Austin Powers Ventura.
Now, next we go. Ozzy goes over to investigate the giant box. Yeah, he tells him, and then but he knocks off the four-leaf clover off the top.
God.
Right, knocks it off, you fucking dullard. And he fucking punches through the box because now the leprechaun immediately knows that it's gone. And he goes, "Hey, Tubby, got a light for the leprechaun's old pipe?" And
everybody in the audience goes, "Oh, God."
He tells that to the leprechaun, and then he offers him a shoe shine because apparently leprechauns can't walk past shoes without shining them at all. They're just incapable of seeing a dirty pair of shoes.
It's like a whore walking by a dick she ain't about to suck. She's perplexed and she's hurt and she don't like it.
And he says, "You better tell me where me gold is or I'll bite your ear off." Leppy tries to lock the door as Ozzy's running out, but his powers are too weak because I need me gold. So his powers are not fully inactive. Plus, he's been sleeping down in a box for a couple years. You know, don't beat yourself up too hard, leprechaun. You know, maybe he is not in the right.
You need some fish oil. You need to do some yoga. You got to wake your shit up.
Ozzy escapes and the gang goes to check the basement, but they don't see anything. They think this dullard is clearly nothing more than a figment of this giant retarded man's imagination. They hear some rustling downstairs.
Lies.
They investigate, but it's a rat, and Ozzy is clearly shaken.
You know who you should always not believe? The most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Definitely never believe
do
them.
Don't believe that.
You know, this movie kind of sets in.
What's that?
Is the fact that if you put like a midget in a crate, it can last almost forever. Like the like the creature under the stairs in Creepshow, you know, the little creatures. So
how long has it been down there? Since the 1800s? I was trying to find my lucky quarter and I found a beast under the stairs.
Are you telling me that you could just throw some fucking aluminum foil around a midget and it just lasts forever like it's McDonald's fries?
I'm Stan Lee. I found a demon under the stairs. I'm actually a man who cleans up after people.
Jerry's ideas about midgets are so great.
Keep them fresh. You keep them fresh for a long time. So
now outside, now outside, we see a magic rainbow. Ozzy says, we need to go to the end of the rainbow. Alex and Ozzy go off to head to the end of the rainbow to find the pot of gold because, you know, this wisecracking kid knows that he needs to follow his retarded friend to the end of this rainbow just
into
to
the
appease
woods,
him.
Right. To a questionable area.
This is how molest
it's
known
as the
start,
rape
right?
spot.
Yeah. Everything is very molesty about Ozzy and this kid. Nobody would let their son hang out with him.
They really sell you on the idea that he's not gonna touch him.
Yeah.
They really do. Because, like, every opportunity, he never takes it. He's never like, hey, while we're alone, let me ask you, like, if you ever felt special feelings?
Yeah.
Like, he never, like, he's always the child in the scenario. He gets more adult in scenes with other adults, but when it's just him and the kid, he's always more of the kid. They keep reiterating to you, like, it's okay, this kid is safe. For now.
I dig that.
For now.
Now, at the end of the rainbow, they find an old truck, and Ozzy finds a gold coin. Luckily, the smarter kid, Alex, goes and finds an entire bag and goes, finders keepers. Ozzy goes,
what a piece of shit.
Yeah, what a little shit kid. Like, I'm sorry. Thanks for showing me where all this gold was, you retarded fuck.
Right, you get one over on the retarded guy? You feel better now?
So, Ozzy says, later, let me test if it's gold. I've seen this in the movies before. He bites down on the piece of gold and, of course, swallows it because he's a moron. That's what special needs people do is when they bite gold, they eat it instantly like it's a fucking chocolate coin.
He put something near his mouth. It couldn't not be swallowed.
He promised me all the gold I could eat.
The kid keeps all the gold and says, hey, if I keep this gold, we can finally get that operation to make you smart again. The fucking
rude.
The fucking balls on this kid.
The new lawnmower man. Balls.
Fucking rude.
Where did he grow them? I don't know. But he just told a special needs man that I need to keep this gold so I can get you the operation to make you unretarded. God!
This guy is a fucking insurance salesman. That's what this fucking guy is. Oh. He's going to grow up to wear shiny black shoes.
And then he's going to take over the internet.
Yeah.
So.
Now, meanwhile, they switch back to Tori and Nathan. They're painting the house, and the sexual tension is fucking palpable.
The sexual tension is mild.
She walks over to the truck, and she thinks it's Nathan touching her leg, but it's actually the leprechaun stroking the fuck out of her. I mean, like, ooh, look at them fucking nice.
Scratches her.
Milky ass calves. I gotta sink my little midget fingernails up underneath her almost shaven legs. It's got a little bit of stubble. Feels like a man solving a mystery.
Because it's
all
the
night.
90s, okay? We don't have to shave every day. Wear tights and shit.
You
it's
must
the
pay
90s.
Clax.
She screams after she gets a small cut on her leg and she looks underneath and there's nothing there. They pass it off as a cat. Dad goes to investigate. He thinks the cat is in this little tree stump. So he reaches down in there and the leprechaun bites him right in the fucking hand. It's gross. First of all, don't go reaching your hand in the shit, yo.
What are you doing?
What, you fucking city folk? This is a City Slickers 2?
No.
You can't just go fucking investigating holes up
this
in the wild?
This is a dusty house with cobwebs. Not only could there be danger, that hole could be haunted. Okay? No, never. Fucking stupid.
By the way, the haunted hole sounds like the very funny name of a horror movie we should make.
That's amazing.
This is another film that reiterates that midgets are very bitey.
That's what a woman is after a bad relationship. She's a haunted hole.
I'm sorry.
Kimberly.
I farted in front
God
of
bless
Kim.
You. I feel like we high-fived God just bless. Now, even though we didn't.
God
like,
bless
I feel
you.
Like we did.
Mentally, we high-fived.
We did. It felt right.
So the gang gets up in their old F-150 and heads to the hospital, and the leprechaun follows them in a fucking tricycle, which is the most whimsical scene. Like, as soon as, like, I get it. We're trying to establish that this is a horror movie, but as soon as I see him follow suit, I just hear in my head this. Oh, take some of me Irish Spring. Oh, yeah. It's just, it's so good.
I gotta say, this harkens back to Killer Clowns from Outer Space when they have their little tricycle.
Yeah, it is. It's a callback. It's a callback.
It's a callback to a classic.
To, you know, that's a good one for the future.
I was thinking that too.
From Outer Space.
Thank you, like Kyoto Brothers, who are not very proud of the Team America for their work on the puppets. So
now, Troy and Nathan are. I'm sorry. I went back to. I went. We're already ahead of there.
Uh-oh.
The gang splits up after they drop Dad off at the hospital. Ozzy and Alex go to the to get the gold checked out at this little antique shop. Storekeeper asks to hold it overnight for examination. Enter the old leprechaun to go check out this motherfucker who's holding his one coin. It's a classic little cat and mouse game. There's a fucking tricycle that hits him. I think it's really funny because at one part, the tricycle hits him and he's just like, huh, where did this come from? It's a fucking tricycle. He like, barely investigated that there's a random bicycle now in his fucking shop. And he's just like, oh, that's weird. Huh, must be one of the antiques in this fucking 8x5 room I work in every single day and I'm the sole proprietor of and know everything that comes in and out. I must not have noticed this over in the corner already.
Huh, it's ridiculous. Another kid must have got kidnapped.
I've noticed that the horror films do a really good job of annoying you
yes.
with the stupid things that people aren't supposed to do, which is all the better in the John Landis film Schlock, where they're in a cave and they hear their friends scream bloody murder, like, ah! Like, Tony, are you okay? And of course, the big ape monster is beating some guy with a femur to death, and he taps the guy on the shoulder like, hey, have you seen Tony? Oh no, it's the monster!
Oh, Tony! I don't think Tony's okay anymore!
And of course, John Landis played the monster, so.
Oh, yes. Good.
Good.
Everybody
movie.
Take a shot when Jeremy goes down a reference hole.
Yeah.
I brought you back to 1972 with that John Landis' first movie called Schlock.
Everybody likes Schlock.
You can't even get that online. It is so obscure.
You ain't ready, but he ready. Now, the leprechaun quickly comes and takes a chunk out of this dude's leg, and then old Leppy comes out with the fucking masterpiece. And this is probably the best death scene in all of the movie. Leppy comes out, and he grabs a pogo stick from the corner, and he starts fucking hopping his way over, which, by the way, again, for some reason, when a goddamn little person does anything...
like murder a guy, am I right?
When he's holding the pogo step like he's driving a fucking 1960s chopper above his head and jumping up and down like it's fucking Jacob's Ladder, comes over and then starts poking holes in this guy while he's laying on the ground, I could do nothing but laugh so whimsically.
Do you think when detectives investigated the body, they were like walking around, they were like silent, and then one of them was like, what a whimsical way to die.
What? It was just great. It was just great.
I think it's really ironic that they have him on a pogo stick, and there's the movie with the guy who plays Pogo the Clown.
Yeah.
In the same
ooh,
movie, so.
Callback.
Whoa.
Jeremy,
yeah. This guy.
This is my first. That was something pertinent that Jeremy said that made sense
a
to
relevant
what we were
reference
talking.
That yeah. connected the dots.
God bless Jeremy.
Wow.
Jeremy's growing. Jeremy's growing.
A new house. He's like a new man.
I can connect all the dots to show you that flat earth is real.
Now, he goes, He can't leave because he has to shine this dude's dead body's shoes for some reason. Okay. I love the fact that this... I haven't seen Leprechaun 2 recently, but the shining the shoes shit is not in Leprechaun 2. It's never referenced again after this. It's only this movie where he can't not shine
that
shoes.
That was the first thing on the table for the all the...
Yeah.
They were like, we're getting rid of that.
I've watched Leprechaun in Space like, recently, which I know there's one before that, which is Leprechaun in Vegas, and there's also Leprechaun in the Hood, but I don't think it's referenced in any other. I'm sure Quality Timers will let us know if I'm wrong on that
You know what's best for shining shoes?
fresh human blood.
Meanwhile, Tori and Nathan have been in the diner. The sexual tension is just fucking palpable.
It is reaching a verde sauce of hotness.
Yeah. We also, I forgot to add, before the leprechaun leaves the little pawn shop over there, he sees a Power Wheels that he then throws the things out of, and it becomes the leprechaun mobile, okay? Which is important for our next scene.
Can,
because
can I have a theoretical question?
No, only real questions on this show, Jeremy.
It's a theoretical question that since they were like the ultimate power couple, Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt, do you think they ever watched this together? When they got married, they watched Leprechaun together, so...
That's why he left her.
And then they broke up.
Yeah.
Let's
put it this way. He went on to make a movie called Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is in no way great. It's entertaining.
It's not great.
And he put his life on that bitch. That's how bad Leprechaun was.
It's no Bad Boys 2, but it's all right. I mean,
he's like, I want a family. I want a family of every single different ethnic equation from everywhere. So go get some kids.
Now, next, the leprechaun is driving his little Power Wheels car, and he gets pulled over by the cops.
So adorable.
Cops come over, and he does the most fucking precious thing that any small person could do. He starts trying to claw his eyes out immediately.
And this cop doesn't think it's strange at all that this guy is, like, weird looking as fuck. He's like in a little toy car. He's like, sir, I'm gonna need to see your license and registration. Like, there's nothing there.
Man, license this dick, bitch.
I think most cops would be like, he'd put a window down and they'd go, all right, I'm gonna say this one time. Are you fucking serious?
He ends up clawing his face and disarming him. The cop flees into the woods. Clutching his nightstick, he finds the leprechaun's hat. Like, why the fuck are you picking up this hat if you're mad scared of this leprechaun? Makes no sense at all. Leppy starts teleporting all over the goddamn woods playing hide and go seek. I'm over here. No, wait. I'm over here. No, wait. I'm over here. Oh, I'm over here. Wait, I'm over here.
You know who else did that? You know who else did that? The Native Americans, and they're dead. Okay? That was their main form of ground warfare. And you know what? Didn't work out for them.
Didn't work out good for them at all.
Stay alive. I'll find you.
You can't hide around a tree from a blanket that has fucking chlamydia on it. So there's that.
Would you like a special chlamydia blanket?
Life is hard. You can really taste the chlamydia. And it's confusing, and not every time the people who should win, win. That's just a fact.
Yeah, really.
That's my favorite.
Don't drop these historical facts on us.
That's my favorite.
I've been reading a book about Lincoln's assassination, and I'm like on fire right now.
My favorite drink is chlamydia, by the way.
In fear and frustration, he throws his nightstick at him, because that's helpful. Throw your last existing weapon.
I thought that. I was like, he threw his weapon!
So the cop runs off, and exhausted, he sits down in front of a tree, and he's like, I fucking lost him. Thank God. Whew, I was real worried, but
I'm straight. Can I just say something? Could you imagine if that person playing that cop was a female, and she threw her nightstick, how much dumber she would look? Like, he looks pretty desperate. Dumb. She would look dumb.
Yeah, she would look bad. It's not a good look for ladies.
No, to be like, fuck you, and throw the only thing of protection she has. And take this taser and my gun and my cell phone. This is a picture of my kids. You can have that. Can opener? I don't know why.
I'm going to throw my bra.
So as he's sitting there, the tension is palpable, and all of a sudden, the leprechaun drops down onto his head and doesn't do a very cool kill at all. He just snaps his neck.
Yeah.
Kind of a letdown.
I bet that was a reshoot.
I would say so.
Yeah.
It's just as good as the end of First Blood.
And this movie, I feel like this movie really tries to be Nightmare on Elm Street many times, and like every time they were like, Warwick, after you kill this guy, I know you're a great actor. We loved Willow. When you kill this guy, though, whatever you want to say, just say it. Because they had seen, like, Freddy, they were like, oh yeah, Robert Englund just says all this great stuff after he kills people. What does he say, though?
Probably something as good as, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger would say, I'm sure.
He goes, Now that was fun.
I thought about that.
That's it.
I thought about that. I thought about them filming that scene, like of them going, well, we have to get out of this scene, so just say, now that was fun. Mm. Now that was fun. One more time. Now that was fun. Like you really, now that was fun. I need to believe it, man.
I find myself doing the same exact things with my little shoot in New Jersey. It's like the director doesn't cut. So I keep going and I get tired of emoting and I'm finding like, okay, I'll say something stupid or funny. And sometimes I'll even be a jerk about it, like make it extra stupid over the top just so we can end the scene. So, but either way, I was killing some kid, and I knew he's from Texas, so I was like, ride him, cowboy! So you try to be somewhat creative, but at the same time, you're like, let's just get this over with. Just finish it on my snack pack.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm so lost in a world of verbiage right now.
No.
Kim is hot fire tonight. Kim is on hot
fire. I got a fresh level of blood in me, and I'm fucking feeling it, you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Now Leppy then flees, and there's a little bit of a diner scene. It's boring. Alex and Ozzy go over there, blah, blah, blah. I'm not even going to talk about that. But now Leppy is all back at the house, and he is looking for his gold. Now, he's looking... I'm drinking. I don't care. This is part of the show.
I don't care.
Jeremy's so tickled every time I burp and go, bleh, okay, let's do this.
I don't even care. I don't even like Christmas.
This is quality time, otherwise known as when our brother and I drink.
Yeah.
And Kim has to endure it.
This is how it happens. This is where the magic happens, everybody.
Now, here in the belly of Leprechaun.
Leppy is now in the house, though, and he's looking for his gold. He finds a box of cereal titled, guys, do you know what it's called?
Cocoa Puffs?
Oh, no.
Oh, Frankenberry.
It's called Lucky Clover Cereal.
These pieces of shit.
Which looks like a cereal and marshmallowy combination.
In a red box.
In a red box.
Maybe you fucking heard of it.
Almost looks like another thing called Lucky Charms. And there's a reason for this. Now, originally, when they made the movie, I told you guys earlier that this was originally billed as a children's movie, kind of like a la Ernest Scared Stupid or something like
sure.
that.
Sure. Or an Exorcist, or a Jurassic Park, or People Under the Stairs,
or Human Centipede.
Maybe I have bad boundaries with kids' movies.
The new Alien action figure for kids. Hey, look at the tongue!
I think what we found out right there is that Kim is going to be a great mother.
I'm
going to
be such a good
mom.
More than
anything.
There's just so much Baltimore heritage when you watch The Silence of the Lambs. It's just, you're passing it down to the generations.
Exactly.
Take this creature to Baltimore.
We live there, honey.
Now, the reason it's called Lucky Clover, this is actually a reshoot for the movie. When it was billed as a kids' movie, they actually had Lucky Charms as a sponsor. After Lucky Charms and General Mills saw the movie, they were like, nah, bro.
Pulled out like a cheap date.
We ain't putting our name on this sumbitch right here. Yeah. This is a scary leprechaun. We're a happy leprechaun. And rightfully so. It seems like a good business move. You don't want to do that.
The Illuminati, you know? Fathers that make sure we stay alive, they don't like it. They don't like it. So sorry.
So Lucky Charms pulled their sponsorship from the movie. Now, as a shot to them, because they had to reshoot the scene because they liked the Lucky Charms joke so much, they reshot it. By the way, not a great shoot. I wouldn't spend thousands of dollars to add that to the movie.
No.
Like, are you watching this and you're like, you know what? This movie's almost perfect, but my vision as a director, as a director, as a man who creates art for the viewer.
Culture.
I can't do it without this Lucky Charm scene. We need to do a parody thing. The audience will understand. But at the very end of the movie, because they were so pissed during the reshoots, they actually had the kid Alex, the end of the movie, while the leprechaun is about to die, he kicks him and says, "Fuck you, Lucky Charms," which is also a shot back at
they were
Lucky
really
Charms
mad
cereal.
About it
because that's their money, yo. They fucking with their money. I mean, let's not pretend like we wouldn't be that petty. Like, if we had sponsorship or something like that. Like, if an oatmeal company, let's say Quaker Oats tomorrow,
sure,
sponsored us because they're like, you know what, Jeremy does fucking spot on Wilford Brimley. Yes. We know it. We know he does a great job.
I want to come We've back heard inside. It before.
And then they dropped us. We would shit on them, right? Like, we would shit on them some way. Like, there's no way
like
we wouldn't.
Faker Oats, more like it. Yeah, pulling out exactly. The last minute. Fucking, ugh.
Let's not pretend we're better than them, okay? Yeah. Let's not. I real recognize real.
But would anybody see Leprechaun and go, never buying that cereal again?
I would pretty much, like, suck off the entire CEO, whole room of CEOs of Quaker Oats if they gave me just like $100.
Would you really? That's a thing you would do?
That's a thing you would do? I really need the money.
Jeremy, we got to move the show along. They find a place in shambles as the gang returns from the diner. Nathan thinks it's a bear. What a fucking great-haired idiot. Anyway, they start cleaning up and all of a sudden you hear, Alex, do you think you could kill a leprechaun? Wow, great question, you fucking dullard retard piece of shit. And then Alex goes, give me a 357, and then blam, brains all over everywhere. They hear a bell, but it's not the bell from the bicycle that had already been brought in the last scene.
What?
Nathan goes to head outside and investigate. He gets his ass fucking strung up in a goddamn bear trap, narrowly evading left and right because the leprechaun is now coming at him with a fucking hatchet trying to chop his fucking leg off like this. I did something, a visual thing I thought would help for the
super
podcast.
Super duper.
Yeah, I did.
Shopping experience.
Ozzy runs into the house and tries to call the cops, and he says, there's a leprechaun here. They immediately pick up and treat it like any other person would, which is like, oh, the town retard thinks a leprechaun's here. Let's just ignore this immediately. They all go out there and start beating the shit out of this little leprechaun, which I find very funny.
Yeah.
First of all, the rest of this movie involves a very small person getting the shit beat out of him multiple times.
Just fast forward to those parts, honestly.
It's so good. They go to check in the bushes, and old Nathan starts popping off rounds in him, but he's not there, right? Next, they head back into the house and to patch up Nathan. They decide to take the truck back to the hospital. The truck won't turn, so Alex goes out because he's a 12-year-old genius who knows how all mechanics work, and decides to go fix the distributor cap because he can immediately hear what that is.
Yeah.
Let's not get into
it
too much.
Well, back when he was in NOM.
Yeah.
You know, he worked on a lot of stuff.
He goes out very gingerly. Nobody's there to back him up. Nobody's back to help this 12-year-old kid out while he's trying to fix the car. You're like, aww, no, you got this. Don't worry. That's not as retarded. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy now has noises. God damn it, Jeremy.
He's so entertained.
We're trying to move the show along, and you're doing this. You're doing this right now. The leprechaun is fucking under the hood. He lifts the hood up. He's under the hood. He's causing all types of problems. Leprechaun gets up on the fucking hood and punches through the windshield like he's Mike Tyson about to take a chunk out of Ozzy's ear.
Hell yeah.
Bites Ozzy in the ear. Tori burns him with a cigarette lighter and he flies into the barn. But then he emerges in a fucking mini Mad Max vehicle. A fucking mini Mad Max vehicle, and blows the truck right over with it.
Leprechaun,
okay?
Beyond Thunderdome.
It's literally like, oh, was this lying around here?
Easiest pie.
I like it. He has one coin. Oh. He didn't have one coin before. He couldn't close the door. Now he can make Mad Max vehicles.
Whole Rudge Barter Town.
This is the most ridiculous film I've ever had to endure. Anyway, Tori goes inside after they get out of the fucking car and calls the police because they actually believe her. She's not retarded. So the police station then calls to the cop car, and then who's in the cop car? None other but our little leprechaun going, "I'll check it out. Call you if you need help."
What a cock bucket.
In the meantime, Ozzy and Alex come clean about the gold with Tori. They say that the leprechaun wants his gold. We know where it is. And she goes, "Okay, all he wants is his gold. We'll give it to him." Tori heads outside with a shotgun, fucking pump action, ready to fucking roll. The fucking, this is
like
fucking,
that's not going
to
split her chest open the second she cocks it and pulls the trigger.
Rachel from fucking Friends is rolling out there.
She's
saying,
got patchwork shorts. She's fucking serious.
I got this shit on. I have a Jordache wallet. I have a pump action shotgun.
I'm from LA.
I can handle this little fucker.
Me and my LA gear, high top shoes, came to do fucking business.
She starts cranking up the old well outside, and then sure enough, she finds the bag right in there. She goes, and then all of a sudden, the leprechaun appears. He goes, "Is that me gold?" She hands it over, and he is more than delighted. Like, as soon as he gets it, there's so many scenes of this movie where just fucking Warwick Davis gets something, and then all of a sudden, he's just dancing around just so happily that I immediately laugh hysterically every time I see it. And just even when he runs, he's in such good shape that like I'm like, look at his little legs going. Look at him go. Look at him. I'm so excited right now.
Anyway. I bet you he is probably the fastest dwarf in the world.
So they think they've probably saved the day. They head inside and we, as viewers, all know that there is one more coin left, and it is lodged in our very big, retarded friend's stomach.
I actually forgot about right? that.
He
did eat the gold.
Yeah. He ate the gold earlier, so there's one coin missing.
It a retarded shows character was like, "But wait, there's one more in my stomach." And I was like, "Oh, yeah."
He goes to, Leppy goes to go count it out, and he's realized he's been shorted. He goes back and bursts back in the door. He gets his hands stuck as he's trying to fucking run in there. And like Jennifer Aniston closes the door on his fucking hand, and the hand goes, it like chops it off, and fucking the hand goes back up and lets Leprechaun back in. He then gets struck. He then gets stuck on a hot stove top. Like they fucking throw him over on a stove.
Which seemed to do himself.
This is actually where the campiness is starting to like get me again.
Uh-huh.
He goes and grabs a spatula to remove himself. He goes, "We're cooking now, kids."
And this is long after Evil Dead 1 or 2, by the way.
Well, this is
filmed
in 91.
93.
It was filmed in 91, though.
Okay.
What year was Army of Darkness?
Well, not darkness, but at least in Evil Dead 2, he's spatulating himself off.
Is it in Evil Dead 2?
Yeah, when he's doing the plate crashing over his head and everything.
Oh, yeah, maybe he is. Maybe it is the spatula in that. Maybe you're right. This movie is so fucking hack. God damn it, it makes me mad. If Evil Dead is the precursor to this,
what if the director
angry
of this actually was Sam Raimi?
Then it would have been a good movie. That's right. The difference. You would have known immediately.
The Coen brothers as well.
It would have been a good movie. You would have enjoyed the cinematography. You would have had multiple jump scares.
That's a very big send up to Sam Raimi.
It would have been called Leprechaun, and there would have been some kind of robbery involved or thievery.
What about Star Trek 3, the Rep of Khan.
What about Leprechaun, and it's actually James Khan as a leper? Now, I reach real far.
We're
for
going.
That one.
Let's
yeah
call him up, guys. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But if you give me at least $10,000, I'll do it. So I need the money.
So after that, they're searching around for the leprechaun. He's hiding in the cupboard. You can never catch a leprechaun.
Oh, just die already.
He's hiding all over the place, and the next thing you know, he pops down a chimney and catches a fucking buckshot right to the chest.
Nice.
By the way, this is only shotgun blast one that he's going to take in this. There, the midget brutality that happens for the rest of this movie is so, like, I understand why they need it. Bring in the other one who's fresh that can take a bump right now, because they fucking fuck midgets up throughout this movie, and it is so good. It is, this is, I laugh every time I see a midget fly across and hit the ground. I don't know why. I'm a monster, but I love it so much. He's laying lifeless for a second, but of course he's fucking super alive. Of course they go to check him out. He runs off, and I can't help but hear this as soon as it happens. He just runs off, and he's fucking, I won't stop doing this bit for the rest of the fucking show. Guys. He's on the hunt. He keeps running away. At one point, he pops up from the fucking floor, and another buckshot gets him, and he fucking scurries off. So now he's been shot twice in the chest, okay? If we're counting, if we're keeping tabs, he's already caught two shotgun blasts to the chest. This kills aliens, not the leprechaun, okay? Next, the phone rings, and sure enough, it's the fucking leprechaun. She goes, he wants his gold, blah, blah, blah. Fucking Jennifer Aniston throws the phone on the ground. She picks it up. They steal from fucking Nightmare on Elm Street 2, because now the leprechaun's hand comes out of the fucking thing, which is totally from Nightmare on Elm Street 2, where the tongue comes out. This movie is just, oh, what,
so he can magic activate a phone, but he can't magic just get the fucking gold.
No, he can't. He can't do that. You have to give it to him. It's like vampires if they were retarded.
I'd like to think if this was a mature movie that they would have done a shot in the toilet where he has to poop the coin, and his hand magically appears in the toilet as the coin poops into his hand. So, all
right, we got two more big scenes before the end of this thing. Okay, now as they're sitting around shooting the shit, they theorize that Mr. O'Grady, the previous owner of the house, would probably know how to stop the leprechaun. Nathan luckily knows where he's at. He's at the fucking shithole old man retirement home on the other side of town.
Oh, he's still alive? So,
this is the fucking, God, this is one of the stupidest scenes in this movie. They go outside, Big Dullard, Nathan, the hot dude with pert plus hair, and Jennifer Aniston, Tori, go outside. They leave the kid inside. They were like, you know what? Our most vulnerable person out of all of us. Leave him inside. We don't need him to be close with us, to this being that can clearly teleport wherever he wants and could have a good wrestling match with you, probably overpower you.
And he's strong again because he's got his gold.
And he's got his gold, so he's strong. Their plan to get to the fucking car is they come out with a box of shoes, start throwing them out. And because the leprechaun can't not shine a shoe, Jennifer Aniston is able to get into the Jeep and drive off. You know what? I always thought that the movie Inception was a very, very well written, hard to follow, but like deep ass movie.
Yeah.
Then I saw Leprechaun 1, and I was just like, shoes? Who? I didn't see that one. There's no way I would have guessed that was going to happen. Like, if you told me at the beginning of this movie, he likes to shine shoes, he's like, how do they get out of this? Maybe an explosion. Maybe they do that. No, it's just old shoes. Maybe they're gonna fucking throw at this thing.
Maybe they can trick them into biting an oxygen tank.
Can we say another failed sponsor when they're like supposed to say, "Oh look, the Tom McCann special. They're gonna throw this and he can shine it." So, and then they lost their thing with Tom McCann. So.
I hate when I lose my thing with Tom McCann. So Tori enters the old folks' home and easily gets past the sleeping guard. And you can see for a brief moment, she's wearing LA Gears.
Yes.
Okay? LA Gears shoes. I owned a pair and owned Zuma pants. I lived in the 90s. I fucked.
If that proves she's from LA...
She pokes around the hospital a little bit looking for Mr. O'Grady. It looks very scary inside. Comes into O'Grady's room. He's sitting looking out the window. You can't see his face. And he goes,
guess what happens, guys?
There's only one way to kill a leprechaun.
But
and
you can't
I'm
see
gonna
him.
I'm not going to tell you. Because I'm the fucking leprechaun! Oh! He turns around! And now it has a very comical chase scene where Tori is being chased by the leprechaun in a fucking wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's lit. God, it's lit as
and
fuck.
She is scared like that's an actual threat.
Yeah. She barely makes it to the elevator a la Terminator 2. And then as she's going down, Grady crashes through the ceiling a la Predator 2 and is hanging bloody from the thing. And she's basically tells her everything about how, oh, leprechauns don't like four-leaf clovers. You gotta get one of those. And then touch him with it and then he'll be done.
Can we look up this dialogue of him hanging upside down? Because it's so bad.
Yeah, it is. It is top. Let's see if we can find this real quick.
It's out of the crate.
You'll believe it. No one believed it was a leprechaun.
I believe it. How do we stop it?
There's only one way. One way to kill a leprechaun. But I'm not going to tell you.
Never tell you. Oh, that's not Mr. Lecter. Hey. How you doing?
He came back for me. I knew he would. No, nobody would believe me.
God, we gotta get you down.
Great acting.
Too late for that now. You have to kill it.
He's hanging upside down.
How do we kill it?
A four-leaf clover. Freshly plucked from the clover patch. Beside the well. You gotta put it on his body. To touch him, and then you can kill him.
But for how long do I have to touch him?
He's dead now, and he's dead. Everybody,
amazing!
Wow, what
Oscar
an amazing
moment. Oscar moment! Yeah. Oscar
what
moment.
An amazing scene in the movie, guys!
But because of the political bullshit, he didn't win.
Which, by the way, why the fuck didn't you touch him with the fucking four-leaf clover, you cock?
You
why did you try to burn him?
He didn't even glue it to the box. A wind, a gust of wind from the door opening could have blown that away.
I just don't understand. Mr. O'Grady's a
this
piece
is
of
this
shit.
This is a guy telling people how to do things who also, again, I'd like to reiterate, drinks full bottles of Jameson and has heart attacks. So, what an idiot.
She flees for the clover patch, which is luckily right out front of the door at the house where they were. Frantically looking for a clover, but good old Lepre interrupts and goes, little girl shouldn't be looking for four-leaf clovers.
That doesn't even make sense.
That's not even a line. That's not a
thing
people say.
No.
Not at all.
Why? Why? That's something little girls totally do. Have you ever seen a German painting?
He chases Jennifer Aniston to the police car where Lepre goes and actually pulls an eye out of the cop who's sitting there to replace his eyeball that is now missing from the previous shotgun blast.
That was kind of cool.
That was actually one of the few kind of cool scenes that happens in this movie. Throws it into his thing and then goes, an eye for an eye, my dear. And then count it. Catches the third shotgun blast and fucking blows him across the fucking way. Every time he gets blasted, I laugh so hard. I'm like, like, a midget is the only person who could take a shotgun blast and make it look that fucking hysterical. They amplify everything. They go back
Less
to the patch because the Nathan and the big retarded guy Ozzy shoot him and they head back looking for a four-leaf clover. Meanwhile, Alex, the little kid, is planning some Home Alone shit and he's over there trying to plant a bear trap over in the barn. And he's And while he's doing that, he's having trouble. All of them are having trouble finding it. there's a fucking, for some reason, like a little heart to heart between Ozzy the dullard and fucking Jennifer Aniston, where he goes, "You've lost all your faith. You have to believe that you can find one." Blah blah blah.
Your faith in leprechauns?
Like, why is this retarded man talking about faith right now? Where we just need to find a four-leaf clover.
Hey,
like,
sir, you decided to make a portrait of my house out of macaroni. Maybe you won't talk to me about my faith.
God, this episode is fire. And Kimberly Ambrose, you are a big part of it.
Dude, I got that fresh blood. I got my blood volume upped. It brought all kinds of things.
Immediately after this little speech, she picks up the next handful, and of course the four-leaf clover is there, glowing like the fucking last dragon in her hand, and they head towards where Alex is having a scuffle with the leprechaun, now in the barn, and the leprechaun's trying to fucking force his head into the fucking bear trap. He goes, "It's me you want!" Ozzy exclaims, and then, because he has the gold in his belly, Ozzy is getting buckle ready to he goes and then runs off, and then Leprechaun follows him, and then Leppy starts taking fucking the buckle to his face, like the buckle from his shoe,
ow.
Like, and just cutting him up with it. And I'm like, that's really not nice of you,
dude.
That's,
they would never nice check that at a security thing.
And
it's
then,
just a shoe buckle.
Alex comes and follows. He gets the four leaf clover, slings it back in his slingshot, which we've never seen before at any part in this movie. But because he's 12, you're like, oh yeah, kids in the 90s have a fucking slingshot at all times. He fires it and it goes directly into his mouth and starts melting him like Raiders of the fucking Lost Ark. He falls into the well, and then as they think he's done, he emerges again and makes a final appearance with his mangled face and pops back up, and Nathan kicks him back down, pours gasoline down the well, and blows him the fuck up.
Yeah, bitch.
And dawn breaks. The cops are finally arriving, just not in time. The day is saved, but of course you hear a little bit of talking at the end. The leprechaun says, it says something along the lines of, "I'll never rest until I get me gold."
It's ironic.
Jeremy, final thoughts on Leprechaun 1.
Well, this is probably before he made Gacy. And of course, Warwick Davis has gotten to my top three midget lists for not only being alive, but also because of his special with Netflix and that guy from The Office, Galifianakis or whatever his name is. And just making fun of himself in Life is Too Short is just so fucking golden. So, what can you say? A franchise that really just drove it into the ground but still kept going, much like a plane that has crashed but still just goes underground.
I thought it was, a pretty solid film overall. Not a very good one. Like, not as good as I remembered it. Like, most of these I revisit and I look through, like, with overwhelming nostalgia, mm-hmm. where I'm like, I don't think I've ever actually watched Leprechaun 1. I must have watched 2 and on, because 2 is great. It's a special effects warehouse of gory kills, and this is just kind of like, oh, he scratches faces and bites people.
That's the only thing I liked in this was sometimes they would have like slight gore, or they'd have like clearly it was like a puppet or something like that. I mean, I like animatronics and I like special effects and I like anything that's not CGI. I'm fucking mm-hmm. down with.
It was a fun movie overall. I don't know how this sparked, like, we need to make 4 more movies of this. Who watched this?
Unnecessary. And
are you with me on this? Is that the movie The Leprechaun is only popular and spawned sequels because of the movie Wayne's World 2, where he goes, "I'm the leprechaun!" And, like, Garth is scared of it? I think that has to have a huge
Maybe.
Part of
yeah.
it. To me, that's what seems logical. Kimberly. Wait a minute.
First take.
Kimberly, where can people find you?
Well, heck, big guy. You can find me at the Second Saturday Shit Show, the second Saturday of every month up at Auto Bar. It's free. It's awesome. It's a good time. Also, at Watch Me Doing This on Twitter and at Panic at the Deli on Instagram.
Yay! Hey! Yeah, definitely support us. And by the way, if you're hopping on the iTunes or the Stitcher, give us a 5-star rating. We will read it on the show. All things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Jerry has a new house. Check us out. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. And check us out next week.
Tell everybody how much better I am than Kevin Hart, like Chris Recibo does.
You ruined it.
I ruined it.
You gotta do it before the bop, 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 bop.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Boo. Like.